Blog Talk Radio.
Black guy.
the picture in the academic. I'm a candidate for mayor of New York City this year, 2009. I want to ask for your support because what we're going to do is to commit the upset of the decade. This is my daughter, Athena Sky. She's 18 months old. And what I'm trying to do is to make sure she grows up in a city where democracy lives, not where buying a vote is taking over and kicking us out of our homes and raising prices on food. Contact me at rr4mayornyc.com or call me at 317-417-5926. Volunteer. Come out and let's pull the upset. We've got 30 days to do it, but we can defeat, and I do mean defeat, Mayor Bloomberg and Bill Thompson on primary day. Thank you.
AlanFlagg.com, AlanFlagg.com, interviewing Roy Rogers in 2009. Welcome to the GRC. Go ahead, 646-727. 3649, we're going to get all the advertising out of the way. We can deal with the moment of the day. You can check out D.Y. Rose Market at 60 Liberty Street, Altoona, California. 510-235-1233. The New England Reformer, Dorothy Wade, CEO of Boston, Massachusetts. Michael Lewis Ingram at Soul Tree Radio to Raw. On Saturday before me, 701, and WCLM RadioOnline.com, with Sports Talk, with Cowboy Reggie. You want to hear old school music? Get the P.T. Brown Get Down Monday through Friday, and Little Old Mystery Man on Saturday afternoon. WCLM 1450 and WCLMonline.com. The art is so Richmond, Virginia. Also, we got to salute Roy Rogers, CEO, BSN, New York City, New York, and the family of BSN Rikers. We cannot forget 707 and 609. Okay, we're gonna do this real quick.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Pocket is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, well, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory, because I've never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports Talk, Sports Talk, Sports Talk, the way it was meant to be.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts, Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot. On blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, this is Kathleen of The Kathleen Wells Show. We've been on a full year, and it's been a fabulous run, and you're going to want to join us. In fact, right now, we're doing a series called Voices from Palestine. My executive producer, Donna Nassour, she's in the Middle East, and she's conducting interviews right now with Palestinians in the West Bank, Palestinians in Bethlehem, Palestinians in East Jerusalem, and those interviews will be played on my show. So you're going to want to join us Wednesday from 2 to 3 on KCAA right here to hear voices from Palestine. You don't want to miss it. Join me.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at Pad for Truth on Twitter. That's at Pad4Truth.
And you can join us at the Gold Caravan, the Soul Patrol, and Pad Nation on Facebook.com. Tell the DOC what you want in the sports world. Go to website www.blackathlete.com and get a different look on sports here. The DOC. My mother gives us a happy new year to you all. Hope you had a good holidays. Going back for another year, 2013, January 12th. And today we're supposed to have a Martin Luther King Day, but we changed it to this week because last week the CEO and my boss, Roy Rogers, passed away on Thursday in Poland. Now, Roy was a very interesting character. As you heard, he ran for mayor of New York City in 2009. Now, think about this. He ran for mayor of New York City, and he got 11% of the vote in New York with no money. With no money. He got 11%. Now, if he had money, and got into the debate, think what would happen. And this is where he can tell you about the disenfranchisement of American politics. And I begin to believe what he's talking about. Because if he could get 11% without any money at all, imagine if he got $1 million that the presidential candidate got this year. He'd be mayor of Rogers right now. He has many, many, many writers write about sports on the black side. Issues that white media wouldn't touch, wouldn't deal with. The real story of Barry Bonds, the real deal about the Washington Football Club's name, this is what made B.A.S. stand out. Including other sports media, like the sports MCs back in 2002-2003, who led the way. Who morphed into now the Bachelor Pad, Monday through Friday at 3 p.m., Soldier Radio to Raw, on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and of course, the GLC, Saturday afternoon, 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern 9. Now, I'm going to play you a clip from an interview of Roy Rogers in our assistant station in Canada, Roy Rogers on the Rise Show, assistant station in Canada.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Vibe here. Hope you're keeping blessed and highly favored. And as always, we don't take it for granted, and it is a privilege to be able to share with you, the listener, and your support we don't take for granted also. Special guest on the line today is Roland Rogers. He is the CEO of the Black Athlete Sport Network, which can be found at www.blackathlete.net. And we're going to have a nice time to share in here. We're going to go back and just kick it back a little bit. Roland's going to talk a little bit about himself, and he has a wide area of experiences, not just primarily in sports and the coverage of sports, but there's more to him. In the brief time I've got to know him, he's always evolving, and he has the right mindset, and he's very passionate. So very excited to get empowered, enlightened, educated, and energized by Roland Rogers. Roland, how are you today?
Fine. How are you, sir?
Blessed and highly favored. Really good to have you on the show. How's your day been keeping today?
Well, it's Easter and it's Saturday, and my little girl, who's 3 years old, just had a little Easter egg coloring party with my wife's old friend, and it was kind of exciting to see kids painting the eggs and sort of getting a real big kick, getting a big kick out of it, right? So it was entertaining, and it was thought-provoking, helpful.
Excellent. Good stuff. Well, like I always like to do before we get into the meat of our conversations, would you be willing to share a little bit about your background to our listeners?
Sure. Let me see. Where could I start? Well, I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, which is certainly within the proximity of where you are, Dr. Vibe. I've been literally in New York City for the last 34 years. And I came here to be an actor and a singer. And I wound up buying a lot of real estate up in Harlem, New York, and mining that and making a lot of money and losing a lot of money. And I allowed myself to, I've been to Shanghai, China, and that was when I started to get the thought of creating Black Athlete Sports Network. I've also been a person who was very highly into the historical significance of what New York City is, and I created an organization called the New York City's 350th Anniversary. And that was literally based on the Municipal Charter of Self-Government in America, which was signed in 1653. So I'm a history buff, and I'm also a metaphysician. I'm an astrologer. I've been an astrologer for the last, 35 years. So if you combine all of those, sciences and, curriculums, and you'll sort of get an idea of my passion and my sense of commonality that we share with all human beings. And, Black Athlete, it's a primarily sports site. We consider it the definitive voice for information about and for Black athletes globally. And we have media outlets all over the world. We've got them in Africa. We've got them in South America. We've got them in China. Well, like the Chinese one is still in its formative stages, but we do plan to get there, and we've got reporters all over the world. So, it's been fun, it's been entertaining, it's been fact-finding, and we really feel as though we have something that we can share with the rest of the world, and that's what we're looking to do.
Okay, that's cool. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing a little bit of the history. And, well, I guess on this interview, we'll probably stick on the Black Athlete site. But you know what? I have a feeling we're going to go into other directions too, which is all good with me if it's all good with you.
Okay.
Yeah, because you've got so much diversity. I've just written down a bunch of stuff and going, where do I start? I wanted to talk about Black Athlete Sports Network. I may end up in China. I may end up talking about 350 years of New York, but one of the wonderful things, this will not be our first and only time together in this medium. So I'm going to start with the Black Athlete Sport Network first. How did that come into being?
Well, when I was president of the committee to celebrate the 350th anniversary of New York, I started to about ways to bring people together based on our commonality. When I looked at the African American, I saw that the only opportunities that they had back in those days was through either sports or entertainment, right? And as I started to delve more deeply into, you know, what that meant to me as an African American, I saw that there was a niche that was not being served. As a matter of fact, it was being marginalized. So as I, you know, canvassed the daily newspapers and, you know, the ESPNs of the world, I started to realize that all the information that was being disseminated was through the cultural filters of a general white editorial board. And that really disgusted me, because what it did was give, you know, certain writers an opportunity to vilify and marginalize, you know, black athletes in a way where we became targets of, you know, various, like attack groups, and, you know, literally, you know, we were slipped underneath the sense and growth of, you know, who we are as a people, you know. So I said, well, gee, you know, let's try to put together something that can, you know, lionize and our effort, and put it together in a way where we actually begin to tell the truth about, you know, the history of the black athlete, not only in the United States, but, you know, in Africa and in England and in Haiti, and, you know, like, we sort of, you know, connect to all different kinds of people all around the world. And, you know, it's ironic that we feel as though, you know, not only have we had this opportunity to do this, but we've gotten a huge amount of support from people all around, from people from all around the world, white, black, orange, or green. They understand our plight, and more importantly, they're willing to support it.
Excellent. Let me ask, did...
And that was a little excerpt from the Canadian Broadcasting Network of Canada. Three years ago. Yeah, 3 years ago now. Well, Roger. And we as African Americans have to keep this dream alive, have to keep this network alive. I don't know what's going on with me at then. I hope it continues. But the goal will continue. Either way, the goal will continue. Whatever happens, if I got meetings. For network. Let me get my buddy, the editor, former editor in chief. Hey there, Mac. D Mac.
Hey, what's up, guy?
Yeah, it's former editor of BSN. I did Edzer from Canada interview. This guy is really interesting.
Yeah, oh, dude, that interview with Dr. Vibes, yeah. I have to admit, I have learned some things about Roland that I didn't know. I didn't know that he, when he first came to New York, that he was getting into the acting game. So it was real interesting.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of person Roland was. You know, we you know, yes, he was, you know, the CEO of BASN, but he wore different hats. He was interested in a lot of different things. He put together a campaign celebrating the 350th anniversary of the city of New York. He ran for mayor a couple times. As a matter of fact, one of our colleagues, Michael Lewis Ingram, when he last talked to him, said that he was in the process of trying to possibly make another run at the city of New York. But you know, Roland was a lot of things to a lot of people, and I think the most important thing with all of us who were involved at BASN and other things, he was a good friend, and just he was very devoted and very passionate in what he did. And the thing is, every day, whether I'm, you know, doing the show on Blog Talk or just, you know, talking with friends on the phone, I'm always talking with folks like yourself, like Michael, like L.A., who've all either worked directly or indirectly with Roland. And, you know, needless to say, his energy and he himself is going to be missed. But I know with what you're doing with Cove, what Mike does with Soul Free Radio and the Raw, and what we try to do with the Bachelor Pad, and even Cowboy Reggie with what he does with Sports Talk down in Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. I think we all are, in our own way, keeping Roland's vision and his name alive.
Well, what was interesting about this is that he allowed people to write about things that nobody even thought about. Now,
exactly.
Like, for example, for me, it was the Notre Dame thing with Johnny Willingham and Mr. Weiss, who had the same records as Willingham, but yet Weiss gets 10-year contracts and Willingham gets fired.
Yeah, you know, we made it a routine in pointing out the double standard that black coaches, black athletes, and other black officials in sports had to deal with and sadly are still dealing with in so many ways. You know, you see, you know, the problem with black coaches in Division I football is still still, to me, in epidemic proportions. I mean, even though we saw three great coaches, Charlie Strong, David Shaw, and Kevin Sumlin win full games this year, you know, very few, you know, with all the openings that were around in college football and even with the NFL openings, you really haven't heard a lot of names of African-American coaches be thrown around. And you know, it's you know, and then when you coincide the double standard that a lot of African American quarterbacks have to go through,
yes,
crazy. I mean, you know, even like tonight, we're gonna see quarterbacks who had tremendous, but are still being sort of scrutinized. You know, people are even now, people are only starting to recognize what Russell Wilson is doing all year for Seattle. Kaepernick with the Niners. But,
We got Zeke David, and I know Michael Lewis was in there. So come on down, you guys.
What's up, Jake?
Hey. Zeke David, you there?
Hey,
hello,
Tony.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I was listening to what Tony said about the participation of the field generals, General Kaepernick and General Wilson, who will be playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's not be funny about this. You know, out of all the pregame talk I've heard about, oh, you know, if Kaepernick doesn't do as well as Smith does, you know, it's going to be a disappointment, you know, and, you know, they'll question Harbaugh forever, you know. Now, if Kaepernick was white, they wouldn't say these things. We know this. And I think this is what makes this such a classic BASM story. Because if we're talking about what Roland has contributed to journalism, it is this whole issue. We get to see this from how we see it for a change. And it's not even the black of it. It's just the right of it. Because in the world of sports, it is not the black or white of it. It's who's the best to play. Who's best man to play? Who's best man for the situation? And when somebody of color does excel in the situation, getting properly acknowledged for it. Now we see Kaepernick has been given the keys to the car, and now the pressure is more on him to not lose than it is for him to just win outright. And I think when you see these things, knowing how loaded San Francisco was when the season started, it makes the evening game really the most important one. Never mind that Ray Lewis, we may never get to see him on the football field again, but they know the heat is going to be on this young kid, and I think he can stand up to the heat.
Well, I'm sure, you know, the fact that Mr. Reed got a job in Kansas City and get by the Rudy Rule again. Now, here we are, 2012, and we're dealing with people giving the Rudy Rule. Tony, what do you think, man?
The sad thing is, while the Rooney Rule is good, it only so far, because again, all they're really covering are for interview guys. You know, we've, you know, now I remember Lovey, I think, has been interviewed by Lovey Smith has been interviewed by Arizona, and I believe Cleveland put out a feeler. Now, Jacksonville,
he got interviewed for Philly on Thursday.
Okay, so that's all. Yeah, interview with Philly. Now, Jacksonville is interviewing Mel Tucker, who was the interim back in 2011 when Jack Del Rio got fired. And again, it may sound like progress, but all they're basically doing is, covering their butt. They're covering their butt what brought upon the Rooney Rule was when Matt Millen, who had already made up in his mind that he was going to hire Steve Mariucci.
That's right.
So he didn't interview any African-American candidates. And that's when the Rooney Rule's enforced. I believe if Mike may correct, I believe they fined them, it was about $25,000 for. And that's really the only repercussions. Now, yes, we've seen more hires, but
San Francisco, same thing. They got fined. They got one draft choice.
Now, I did hear earlier in the week that Mike Singletary was being interviewed for one of the head coaching positions. I don't remember which one. I remember seeing it on the scroll.
Might have been Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. I believe you're correct. The thing is, as good as the Rooney Rule is, and it's good that it's there, at the end of the day, it's basically just a big CYA for all of these GMs and people that hire. I mean, again, I'm glad that it's there. I'm glad that it's enforced. But big picture-wise, there's still, as Mike likes to say a lot, there's still not a lot of meat in the sandwich.
Yeah, it's a Subway sandwich. The meat is actually the interview. But the interview doesn't guarantee the job. It just says you have the interview. So you don't get the fries, you don't get the shake, you don't get anything with it and whatnot. You get that couple of slices of meat. It definitely ain't what you see on TV. So, you know, that's essentially what the Rooney Rule has allowed us to do, get a bite of a Subway sandwich. And sometimes, you know, sandwiches like that can give you indigestion.
Mm-hmm.
Ask people who've been in the league a long time, like Jimmy Ray or Mr. Cottrell. You know, guys with good time, and Sherman Lewis. Even after a Super Bowl, when everybody who had been a hot coordinator at the time was getting sniffs all up the wazoo, well, all of a sudden, Sherman Lewis couldn't get a job in spite of being the offensive coordinator because we all know that Mike Holmgren runs the offense. So we know that's a bunch of bull.
And Mike, if they try to use age as a factor, then why did Monty Kiffin just get hired by the Cowboys?
Thank you. And why did Marv Levy, who was older than dirt, you know, get a job in Buffalo after all those years? You know, let's not be coy. We know this is about color. I'm just tired of people just dancing around it. You don't want to hire them because you don't want them to be hired.
Another issue, that the Baseball Hall of Fame this week, the Baseball Hall of Fame did not vote for anybody to go to the Hall of Fame. What is your view on this action by the writers? Michael, you first.
Gary,
you know, nothing made me angrier. And we discussed this on Soul Tree Radio earlier this afternoon. Nothing made me angrier than these. And I'm sorry, Gary. These bastards doing exactly what they did. They covered up. They didn't use their ballots. They may as well have been toilet paper because they deliberately didn't give any kind of credence to the scope of what the Hall of Fame is supposed to be about. They want to recognize players who played their butts off all their life, like a Dale Murphy, who now are screwed in the process because of their own pettiness. They didn't forward the causes of players like Jack Morris, who soldiered for a lot of years and won a championship, so they can't even make the excuse that he didn't win anything. But now, Morris, he's in jeopardy. Players like Craig Biggio, who, rightly or wrongly, are pointed in the same brush as some others, maybe not as much, but the Biggios of the world should have been granted right into Cooperstown, but because of their own power madness, they won't allow him to come in on the first ballot. And we already knew that Bonds was going to get screwed, but Clemens and all the others and whatnot. But how can you have the so-called steroid era avoid of anybody who didn't take steroids? Because if we got to trip back 30 years or so, everybody was involved in the so-called steroid era. And it's a damn shame that the only honest person in the steroid era, whether they were in front of the plate or in the press box, is Jose Canseco.
Mr. Murray, you have anything to say about this?
Yeah, I'm right here. And you know, just looking at that whole vote this week, I mean, it was appalling. And the thing is, what baseball has to acknowledge once and for all is that everybody was involved in steroids. And the thing is, you know, what makes me kind of angry about Bonds and also Clemens is the fact that you never really got any proof of what happened. And the thing is, you created the situation by not having any rules. The only sports institution in sports to not have a rule against performance-enhancing drugs. And then you're going to get mad. It's almost like the scene in Casablanca. You know, gambling, I'm shocked. Here's your winnings. And they made money off of it. That's the thing that angers me about it. It's hypocrisy. I mean, and the whole thing is a joke. It is a bad and unadulterated joke.
Their credibility was pissed away with this vote and the subsequent page on the New York Times sports section where it said, welcome to Cooperstown, and a blank broadsheet. Knowing how much broadsheet paper costs to put on for advertising and all that, they wanted to make a point. They wanted to let them know, and these are all little punk kids who didn't get chosen to play for stickball or kickball or whatever it was, taking their anger out on these baseball players, because there's no fair way in all heck that you couldn't have found, even amongst all of us here, everybody has 10 names they can put in for whatever reason. Dale Murphy would have been on my ballot. So would Curt Flood. So would Pete Rose. So would Dave Parker. So would Rock Raines. So would Craig
Marvin
Beecher.
Miller.
So would Jack Mar. Thank you. Everybody here, for whatever reason, we would all have 10 names. There was no reason for any of those wannabe reporters to not have 10 names on a list. Even if they didn't want Bonds or Clemens or Palmeiro or any of them, there were 10 worthy players who needed to be considered. You know, but when you want to keep hold on your little maniacal control and whatnot, it goes by the board. And I'll say this in front of Mr. Murray because I said it on my show. Chris Murray is a good baseball writer. He should be the kind of writer who should have a vote for the Baseball Writers Hall of Fame. He's put his time in. He knows his stuff. But when a job came open, they kicked us behind to the curb because they wanted some young white kid just out of J school to have the responsibility. Think about this. The responsibility of being a beat writer. His experience was null and void. Whatever he could offer from his own personal insight of the game, it meant nothing. So it's not about covering the sport anymore. It's about covering the asses of the people who run this at the corporate level.
But you know what though, Mike, is interesting that you say that, because that baseball has been trying to cover its ass throughout the whole situation. And part of the problem is that they can't. And the thing is, what angers me about a lot of people in the media is the fact that they've never held the sport accountable. to me, as far as I'm concerned, I put lines in them. And the reason why I say, because we have to tell the truth to the public that this thing happened, that this whole thing, performance enhancing drugs, it happened. And what? And you have to be honest about that. But and at the same time, these were the best players of their era. Bonds was a great player before the whole thing, before however you look at his involvement in the steroids. And same thing with Clemens. And that's the same. And to me, what they allowed to happen in the sport was a farce. They make billions of dollars off, because you're not going to change who won world championships. You're not going to change who won division titles and all these other things. You know what? Put those guys in. But if you want to get all moral about it, although I find that blackballing Barry Bonds and a lot of these other people, to me, is being an avenging angel after the fact. The thing is, the sport messed up, and I think the public needs to understand. Baseball needs to be honest about it. It needs to be honest that its sport was tainted by performance-enhancing drugs, which they had no policy, no testing policy, or anything other. They allowed it to happen. Don't sit up there and try to crush the morality of the players. You know, that's like, getting mad at the inmates and taking over the asylum and all that, and then say, oh, geez, the inmates are taking over the asylum. Well, you let the inmates take over the asylum. That's what happened. You allowed it to happen.
At the end of
was just so funny, because there were certain nights when I'm just sitting there, I'm just trying to watch the game in peace,
and Roland will call and say, why did he do that? Why did he change the pitches? Why is it Roland? Hold your water.
The sad thing is, there was more credibility with those 62 Mets, unfortunately, than you have with the 2013 Mets. Matter of fact, we got, and I'll just end it with this: we got more Mets in Toronto than we have in New York right now.
Yeah, the Mets are in serious trouble. I was here going last place.
Hey, anybody know how to say Blue Jays in French? Take care, guys.
Okay, Tony.
Take care, Tony.
We'll see you.
Hey, Tony McLean, editor of BSN, former editor of BSN, and we have Michael Syndrome online, also BSN writer, and his new show, Soul Radio to Raw, for mine. Michael, what
yes,
was it here? The Pete Rosenthal and all of them?
Without a doubt.
Yes.
You can't have the Hall of Fame without the most prolific hitter in all of baseball in it. They say that he's already in, as they try to make a spurious argument for him by implying that, you know, because of all his records and souvenirs and whatnot, well, he's already in the Hall of Fame. No. Pete didn't do anything different than anybody else hadn't done. We saw football players bet on games. They were punished, Horning and Alex Karras. It didn't stop Horning from ascending to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That Pete, even though it took him a while to admit it, said what he said and did what he did, it didn't change what he did on the field.
Yeah.
It's about what you do on the field.
Hey,
they can say whatever they want to say about his character and all of that. Tris Speaker and Ty Cobb were avowed racists. They didn't stop them from getting in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
The bottom line is his body of work speaks volumes. He's got rings. He's won. If he was really a cheater, the only person he cheated was himself, but he never cheated the fans regarding how he played.
Yeah, you know, going back, in 1947, baseball was segregated.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, all those records from 1889 to 1947, are records real? See, when you start doing that, you ask many, many questions and you start doing that. And so, my suggestion to President Baseball is this. Bonds, Lemons, Sosa, et cetera, put them in the Hall of Fame. Then you put an asterisk. And see, this is the thing. After 20 years, the asterisk will go away. So it already is.
But, Gary, it's hard to even agree with the premise of an asterisk when you know that all of them were compliant in allowing for the atmosphere to exist. No, you know, I'm not arguing against it. I'm just simply saying, you know, the whole process has been tainted for good. There's really no way that you can get any kind of justification, even in putting an asterisk next to it, to remind everybody that, well, you know, this guy did something naughty beforehand. No, there should be an asterisk put on everything baseball did prior to 1947 and one after this so-called steroids thing began, because that's really the only fair barometer to assess who did what, because steroids can't make you hit a ball and hit for average. It'll make you stronger if you do hit it to make contact with it, but it's not going to allow you to become a 400 hitter. You know, so, you know, it's the spurious nature of all of this is petty at best, and it's self-serving at its worst.
5 years ago, I wrote an article about it. I said exactly what you just said in the article. Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And you can't see the ball, You know, man, what are you thinking? If you can't see it, you can't hit it.
That's right.
Period.
It doesn't matter, though, because, again, the baseball writers have turned out to be power mad in their ideal as to what they want, as to what they want people to be perceived regarding the so-called sanctity of the game. And it's not sanctity, it's insanity. Because if they truly believe that people are going to swallow this nonsense, you know, my heart bleeds for the Dale Murphys of the world because they didn't deserve to become collateral damage in this BS that the baseball writers of America pulled.
What is your favorite memory of Roland Rogers?
I spoke of one on my own show about how he stood up for me journalistically when for years I didn't have any backup. But my greatest memory is after we did the first edition of the Sports MCs on BASN Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess Roland was surprised. And he said, "I don't know where you got that from. It was pretty doggone good." Now, I had done radio in Canada for a while, but I hadn't really thought about it after I had left. There was just so much trauma after everything that was done to me in Canada that the last thing on my mind was whether or not I was going to do radio for BASN.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but ultimately, gave me my mojo back. I mean, I enjoyed writing, but having the chance to having even more of an effect by getting on air, saying what needed to be said, sometimes in a manner too blue for people's taste. But it was said anyway because the whole concept behind the Sports MCs let the Sultry Radio in the Raw.
Yeah.
And as I've said dozens of times before, the real profanity is never me saying the F word or the MF word or the B word or anything else. The real profanity is in the environment that would make somebody say the F word or the MF word or anything like that. And those things are under the surface of it all. It's like the profanity wasn't the baseball writers. They did what we knew they were going to do. The profanity was heaped upon the Dale Murphys of the world, on the Jack Morrises of the world, on the Rock Rangers of the world. That's where the real profanity came. You know, they were powerless to do anything about it. And I know the dissemination of information is crucial for us to elevate.
Yeah.
And that the forum offered by Sultry Radio and the Raw through Roland Rogers believing in the fact that he could do 24-hour radio just like everybody else
will
always be the most poignant memory for me and always remind me that sometimes when everybody else doubts you, you should never doubt yourself, especially if you know where you're going.
You know, my memory is I wrote an article about the Washington Football Club.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Where did you get this stuff from?" It's like, you know, I've been asking the Washington Football Club for at least 20 years. I've never asked these guys. And this recent week, Mayor Gray, no relations, Mayor Gray of Washington, D.C., stated that if the Washington Football Club move again, we have to revisit the issue of name of the Washington So it's beginning to get traction in the D.C. area. If they move again, they cannot get that name.
That would be so cool that through the efforts collectively of everybody in BASN, and especially through yours on that particular issue, that we would affect change where a lot of folks would think that wouldn't be possible. I think that in itself would be truly representative of what Roland's dream was and what he hoped BASN would be.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was a
word.
Because he many times that people would sabotage the website and try to change. See, that's the way America, getting the angry about America. Whenever somebody gives out truth, they don't want to hear it.
Yep.
Obama speaking truth, they don't want to hear it. And see, sooner or later, we're going to come down to the real deal. I said this over and over again. If you don't want to talk about race, you better get out of the country. Because it's going to come down to the issue sooner or later.
Gary, I think ultimately, for us to evolve, I mean us collectively as human beings, fear has to be eliminated. By that I mean,
yes.
Folks should be afraid to say what needs to be said. If it helps or harms, it doesn't change the fact that if something needs to be said, it needs to be said.
Yes.
The other thing that we don't want to say about what Roland really has done with this is, again, it's provided another voice.
Yep.
And as we see more and more societally, more and more voices are being eliminated. They've either been co-opted because they've been bought out by people who have their own idealistic agendas, so it's part of their policy that you can't say anything, otherwise you'll lose your job and you won't have a living and all that other stuff.
Yep.
Or there are people who are just straight up mean-spirited, or there are some who are just totally incompetent and they wouldn't know what to do anyway, but they're doing what they're doing because they're in a position to do it. The same kind of environment that exists in corporate nature where you have patronization, people who get nudged along, people who get pats on the back because ultimately that's all they're good for. If they weren't somebody's relative or they weren't somebody connected, they wouldn't have the job opportunity.
Right. Well, we got a long way to go, my brother. We got to keep working. I'd like to keep this dream alive. BSN gave me an avenue to speak about disabled athletes, which you know, nowhere else guys done this. And 2008 Olympics, Roland gave me a whole week of writing about athletes in China at the Olympics. And I think it opened the eyes of many, many black Americans to the day with athletes.
It's true, bro. Listen, our disabled brothers and sisters are the redheaded stepchildren of the redheaded stepchildren.
Yeah,
we don't like talking about them unless they're in your family or you have somebody who's close to you that is.
Yes.
Folks don't really get the props. And this was long before BASN or anything else like that. We always saw it societally, and it was really stupid and unfair to even look at things that way because they get painted with the same brush we do. And
yep.
We know nobody wants to be at the bottom of the shit pile. Let's be real on that. But ultimately, because there is a voice which you helped to foster, by the way, folks won't think like that anymore. And that's important. That in itself is evoking.
Yes.
That's all anybody ever wanted.
Hey, this is Cowboy, you coming in here? This is Cowboy. 111, are you there, 111? Who's the 111? Are you there? Are you just listening? Okay, just listening. Okay, alright. But, you know, I really hope, that we continue this wonderful journey about black sports. You know, because we can see things that other people don't see at all. I hope we continue to do that.
I agree, brother. I think we will surge ahead and do what we need to do to make sure that there is a voice, that there will be some sort of, for lack of a better way of putting it, that they'll know that there will be a world where people won't be able to just get away with saying stuff.
Like this week. You know, you're right about what I saw this week on Bernadine, they tried it. They tried it. Look, it's Ivan Kaepernick, and he must win this game. No, he doesn't. Yeah. He has to win this game. It's a game. First of all, it's a game. Second of all, you have to next year. You can do it again next year. No, the first president right now is this kid. Is inexcusable. Kaepernick is a good quarterback. Is he better than Lynn? Yes. That's why he got it. That's why he became a starter. So, what is this?
I don't know, Gary. I don't know. You know, the mouse is always going to do what it does. And sacrificing a Rob Parker is nothing for them. You know, we wrote a piece where we explained Parker did exactly what his masters told him to do. And even as he got sacrificed by losing his job, you know, he probably got some sort of stipend for what he did. I'm not saying he did or didn't for sure, but why would somebody act so irresponsibly and say such egregious things about an athlete when it had nothing to do with sports, nothing to do at all?
Yep. And this has been time and time again, repeated offenders with Barry Bonds, with Sammy Sosa, repeated offenders. And, you know, the classic example of this is Brian Braun was caught red-handed. Brian Braun became MVP of the league. Hello? He got caught red-handed.
Caught red-handed. Can't change it at all. Gary, I got to go, brother. Listen, have a great weekend.
Okay.
Keep this thing on, and you be good and go safe.
All right, thank you. I'll be on your show this week. This Saturday, I'll be on your show. And Michael Lewis, he drove a soldier radio in the Raw. In the Raw, I'm going to take a little break here. Here's a salute to Luther Rowland, his favorite basketball team. Rowland, it's me, your buddy. Come on. I'm having it down. Okay, let's try it again. Oh, God, what happened? It's Rowan and...
New York, the Knicks. Let's go. We are the New York Knicks.
Uh-huh.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. Hey, go New York, go New York, go.
okay, you hear me? You hear me? I gotta cut off. Let's see if we can do it again. Hello? Hello, are you there?
Gary.
Yeah, I gotta cut off.
Good afternoon.
Man, I just got caught about 8 minutes got caught, man.
Yeah, you, first it was you and then it went to Busy Signal and then it just went dead.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to get in.
Yeah, but, you're back on now. I've got you on both the phone and the, computer.
Okay. That's a great enough right there, boy.
Yep. Welcome to the world radio.
Right in the middle of dancing, and then they go, "Where's the soul? And the God."
Yeah. I should let you finish that up before I get in here. You want to finish that?
Oh, I'm good. Go ahead. What you got?
Okay, well, I was reading your little blurb about what you're going to be discussing today, and, you mentioned Martin Luther King.
Okay, the Martin Luther King was moved up into next week.
Next week, okay.
Yeah, this week was because the CEO of BASF passed away last Thursday. This show is dedicated to the CEO, Roy Rogers. And next week we'll be doing Martin Luther King ceremony there.
Okay, I didn't put that together. I'm sorry. So.
No. It changed very quickly. That's it changed very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he the one got my job. That's why I'm on radio now, because of him.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, I will call in with some comments next week.
Okay. You ain't got nothing about the playoffs?
I think the Niners are
going
to be okay. What do you think?
Well, I think they had to jump on top of the Packers early. Rodgers to take care of them, but the Niners defense had to control Rodgers and keep him in the pocket.
Yeah. I didn't get in on the beginning. Are you happy the way the hockey situation was resolved?
No, it should have been done earlier. This is when they decided earlier. It could have been done 2-3 weeks ago. It waited the last minute to put this thing through. Now we have a 50-game season. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Most teams, this gets started, 50 games, this gets started. And if you're a weak team, you have no chance to get the playoffs with a weak team.
Yeah. You think this was sort of staged all along?
Yes, guys, they're trying to break the union. Every sport now is breaking every union. As we go, all these sports is breaking all the players' union now. Every sport is doing this.
That seems to be not only sports, but it seems to be the trend in the country now. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, it's sad because, you know, for my money, unions are what made this country.
Yeah. It's a real shame.
Yeah.
Because unions make this country. What happened in NHL? It happened again in the NBA in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All this stuff is gonna come up again.
Yeah.
I blame the owners because 5 years ago you signed the contract. For 52-40-46. That was your fault. It was the player's fault.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You signed the contract.
Yep. Yeah, I hear you. Well, listen, I'm going to let you get back to your topic at hand because I was sad to hear of Mr. I'm sorry, I forgot his name, but
Rogers.
Yeah, I was sorry to hear of his death, but I mean, I don't.
He's over Europe, and he tried to work out of Europe, so he will be missed. He will be missed.
All right, well, I'll put it on with my man.
All right. Thank you, Ann.
All right, thank you, sir.
Before I was rudely interrupted by this connection, I'm going to try it again with the New York Knicks.
Disabled radio host.
I'm the first disabled with cerebral palsy. I'm disabled always, but not with cerebral palsy.
Right, right. But for Roland to have, you know, given you your shot and to have stood by you, and I know he was the CEO, and I know there were times he came on the show. I spoke to him on the show.
Yeah, a couple times.
And I was always impressed with the fact that he was, you know, monitoring and participating in the various segments of BASN. It's, you know, with Martin Luther King, I know you're going to return to this another week. I think it's what Roland did was really build on the legacy of Martin Luther King, that the doors that Reverend King opened were the doors that permitted Roland to do what he did with BASN.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, you know, to acknowledge that. He also was quite a mentor to you. I know you spoke earlier about your work on the Washington Football Club issue.
Yeah.
And Roland was really surprised in how much knowledge you had as to that issue.
I'm just glad to see that the mayor of Washington D.C. is gonna move on this issue. It's been 45 years since this first come up, and now with the Washington Football Club moving back into the city, which they will be doing in 2014, the mayor said, "Look, you can't go back here until you we deal with his name." So. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because the owner steadfast that we will never change the name. The great grandson who owns the club now, like his grandfather, said we're not changing the name. So we'll see what happens.
If the name were to change, what do you think it might change to?
That's an interesting question. See, I think Indians would be fine. Nationals would be fine, because you had a baseball team, the Cardinals, both of them in the same city. You had the team, the Dodgers, in the same city. So it's nothing new here. The same name was the Senators. Okay, name is Senators. Okay, but because it's been used before. But this name, the R name, has got to go. It's got to go.
Right. How much clout do you think that the mayor, Mayor Gray, by the way, has?
Yes. I think Mayor Gray is very serious about this. I think that if they really want to, I think that he will block the move in the city if they don't say the name. And the old RFK stadium is ready to fall down. They have to move sooner or later because it's ready to fall down.
Why is the team playing outside of Washington now?
Well, it's in Landover. Landover, Maryland, right now. Right next door to Landover Park.
And why is that?
Well, they built the stadium in the 70s. It was a brand new stadium then.
And why are they moving out of that now?
They're moving back into the city again.
Into RFK?
No, back into DC proper.
And is there a new stadium ready for them there?
Yeah, they're building it now.
Huh.
But the mayor made it very clear. If you come back in here, you're not going to have that name with you.
Is this the first time he's brought that up?
No. It's been dealt with earlier in the year. One of his campaign promises to the people that he was going to go after the Washington Football Club. the owner and the mayor have gone at this thing for months.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, the time to have done that would have been to hold the team hostage before they, you know, get committed to the new building. I mean, once
they
that building...
haven't moved yet. They have not moved yet.
Well, but, you know, once you start building a stadium, the implication is you're going to move into it.
No, that's dirty. No,
well,
I mean,
are they building it with private money or public money?
Private money.
Yeah, that's...
It's the thing about... Also, I blame the NFL for this. I blame ESPN for this because they don't help us the way they're not assisting the situation either. And they know... They know what's right, and it refuses to even comment on this.
Right, right.
And there's one thing about this on ESPN, nothing. Because it wanted to be like, it wanted to be what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it seems, you know, that, you know, the time to really do that is... You get those commitments before they start getting their building permits and things like that.
I think what's going to happen is the city's going to do the Washington Football Club. Everything's going to happen.
Right. Well, it's certainly going to bring attention to the issue. I mean, however it gets resolved, it'll certainly bring attention to the issue.
You know what I noticed? I know that every time the Washington Football Club gets into the playoffs, this issue comes up again. And now with the star football quarterback,
right?
Here we go again. Maybe it's an issue of the name.
Hey, let's talk about that.
Oh, boy.
Have you covered that yet on the show?
No, but I am very disgusted with my Shanahan. Mike Shanahan to be fired from his job. Mike Shanahan is for Mike Shanahan, nobody else. He didn't care about what happened to Robert Griffin III. There's no reason why a young man should be on the field in the second half. No reason. If you lose the game, so what?
Well, it's a playoff game, and you know playoff hysteria. And all the marbles are on the table on a given week.
But what you've done now is you have jeopardized the whole franchise.
Right. Now, wasn't the Washington Club already down at that point of the game? Weren't they already losing?
Oh, they were up 14-0.
Up?
Going into the third period.
Up or down?
Up.
But they ultimately lost?
Yeah, because Robert Griffin III could not run. I mean, how stupid can he get?
Well, would the substitute quarterback have been able to maintain?
I believe they would get the level. RG3 cannot throw at all. Why is he in there? Man, it's one of the most dumbest things I've seen in football. 30 years. I ain't never seen anything like that before.
And what is Shanahan's explanation?
Nothing.
Yeah. Now, you were concerned that Shanahan was, like, somehow going to undermine RG3, correct?
That's right. Anyway.
Right, right.
I mean, this is straight up gangsterism. This is straight up gangsterism. That's what this is about. The Shanahan wants to go into Hall of Fame, and he needs one more Super Bowl to get there. He doesn't care how he gets there. He doesn't care who he uses. He's going to get there. Guess what? He ain't going to get there this year.
Right. Right. I want to go back to Roland Rogers a little bit. What do you think was the key to his success in building BASN?
Roland Rogers was a dreamer. He was a dreamer. The guy could look at something. He could make hamburger out of anything. I mean, it's amazing how he could see stuff and change it. explain to me how he can run for mayor of New York City with no money and get 11% of the vote. How do you do that?
How did he do that?
I don't know.
Yeah. What is his background? What is his history? Do we know? Can you share a bit of that?
He was a writer, actor, politician. You name it. He tried it once or twice.
And how did BASN come together?
Well, okay, what happened was there was a story ESPN wrote about it was a baseball story back in 70.
From what I understand, that there are some veterans who are in the hall who had said that if Bonds and Clemens, for that matter, got in, that they would not show up for the award ceremony. A lot of people, and they may be old-timers, and they may have blinders on, but...
That's the case. All records from 1889 to 1940, did they count? See?
Because blacks were not permitted to play.
Thank you.
Well, that's a good point. But how do we, you know, the juicing distorted the game.
But you had greenies, you had cocaine. I mean, this goes like this. This is endless.
Well, how many of the cocaine players got in?
Yes.
How many? Who?
Al Strawberry. Hello. I mean, like I said, baseball, the only sport where picking the juices and whatever, they go right back to five ceiling.
Wait, Strawberry is in the hall?
Wait, say again?
Is Darryl Strawberry in the hall?
Yeah.
What about Dwight Gooden?
I don't know.
I don't know. See, I think the cocaine era and the cocaine users were more individualistic, and I think that
cocaine, even though
it is a stimulant, I think became more of a problem for those folks. I think cocaine was certainly a problem. It was an addictive drug for Strawberry.
Okay. All right. Let me.
As opposed to steroids, which is a performance enhancer.
Let me ask you a question. If you can't see the ball, how's it gonna help you? If you can't see the ball, how's it gonna help you?
Well, it does build strength, size, muscle mass. It does assist in recovery. And so it is true. Yes, you do have to hit the ball and you have to connect.
That's right.
But I mean, you look at the inflation of the home run numbers. Clearly, they were stronger during that period because of muscle building.
Okay. This is okay. I'm a commissioner of baseball. This is what I would do. I would get a wing of the Hall of Fame and put all those guys in that wing, the steroid era wing.
No, but Gary, if you do that, that's a kind of discrimination too. That will easily start to be called, you know, the wing of shame, if you will. I mean, it'll be the tainted wing. I don't know that you can really isolate them like that.
But deny Barry Bonds the Hall of Fame is criminal. What I mean by it's Barry Bonds would have been the Hall of Fame whether he did the steroids or not anyway. What happened was, see, this is people better wake up and understand this. What happened was, Barry Bonds looked over at the other side and said, wait a minute. Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, I get all of these accolades. I'm better than them. This is Barry was thinking. I'm better than them. Why is they getting all the accolades? I'm playing fair. And they get all of the awards. See, that's what Barry was thinking.
Right.
Also, the way the media and Major Baseball treated his father, Barry Bonds, is inexcusable.
Yeah, you know, now, some people have suggested a way to deal with this is rather than, as you've suggested, put them in a special isolated wing, is on their plaque make a mention of all their achievements, but also have a notation that there was this era in baseball. And that gives it a historical... connection, that there was an era in baseball in which steroids were used and in which numbers became inflated and performance became inflated, and have that on their plaque so that there is a historical reference and it's open to knowledge.
They had to be. It doesn't need to all fame. I don't care what the veteran you mean said. It's part of baseball. And see, if baseball didn't act correctly, and they had done their job in 1986, none of this stuff would happen. But they didn't do their job in 86. Why? Because money became more important than anything else. Money. They wanted people to go into the stands and see the overall ball.
Right.
That's what happened.
Right. And it's ironic. People were talking about whether the ball was juiced. In fact, it was the players were juiced.
It may have been.
Yeah.
But see, it's a hypocrisy. But baseball, of all sports, baseball is so hypocritical. It's going to be ridiculous now. When you have 32 baseball games in Latin America, and only two in inner city America. That's criminal. That's outright gangsterism. And what did I tell you? The baseball continues to dig a grave every year. They do it over and over again. The more I see this, the more I'm going to anti-baseball. Make it over and over again, man.
Yeah. Do you think that, the writers, say, wanted to send a message this year, and over time they'll come around?
Well, they knew us. It's very interesting. He voted for Barry Bonds. Hey, there's no reason why people would stop up about it, because before Daryl Ayers, he had home run number, he had all of my numbers. So if they knew I was gonna say that, where are the other guys at?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, do you think the players, the writers will come around, that they sent their message, and then they'll say, okay, fine, let's...
Barry Bonds will never get the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
You know why? Because the people are so angry with him, because he wouldn't talk to them.
Right.
He was not a nice guy. I mean, all that stuff. See, again, why is a black athlete have to kowtow to the writers? Where you had Steve Carlton, who didn't read writers for 10 years. Nobody cared.
Right.
But because Barry Bonds, though, he's an angry black man. Oh my God, we can't talk to him. Really? And Steve Carlton did anything.
Well, Carlton simply didn't speak to the writers. I mean, I think Bonds had, brought much more attitude to it.
In the first year, I was living in Philadelphia, in the Philadelphia area. The first 2 years, it was ugly. The first 2 years was ugly.
How so?
Because it would go up to him, and he'd walk away from him. The first couple of years, before word got out that he was doing this,
uh-huh.
It was ugly. Barry Bonds is like the same thing. But the double standard here. That's all.
Okay. Football this weekend. We're back playoffs now. And Niners and Packers is the game of the week.
Yep, I think that's the game to watch both days. This is the first time when all 18 can win the Super Bowl. Not one of them are very weak. All 18. is very good. It's the first time I've ever seen that before. You can make a case for Baltimore, you can make a case for Denver, you can make a case for Green Bay, you can make a case for Houston and New England. So there's no weak sisters.
Right.
In this playoff this time.
So somebody strong has got to go home.
Yeah, you got that right.
Right. It's not the weakling goes home. Somebody strong has got to go home.
No, this is going to be a knock down, dragged out battle here.
Do you see this being a physical battle or an aerial battle?
No, it's going to be defense. The defense is going to win this game. And the running game is going to be the difference in this game.
Yeah.
Who do you
project as the winner?
Say again?
Who do you project as the winner?
I think the Niners because they're home. I had the home field. It's 3 points.
Okay.
And they're going to need that 3 points. Rodgers is still mad because the Niners didn't pick him in the draft. And so he has a chip on his shoulder.
Right.
Whenever he plays the Niners, he has a chip on his shoulder. And Kaepernick, it's a Wisconsin boy, so it's like opposite in the rainbow here, because Kaepernick is from Wisconsin,
uh-huh.
Rodgers is from California, and we're the opposite team, so it's crazy, it's really crazy. But I think Kaepernick will come through. I mean, our ball didn't make that change for no reason. He made a change for a reason. I think it was a good reason. But we'll see.
Right. Now, I understand there's going to be a viewing party in the home of the Cove.
Well, you're welcome to join the party if you want to.
All right, I'm going to see if I can get down there.
Get some pizza, get some cookies, potato chips, and root beer, of course.
Root beer, the beverage. that's the juice for the Cove.
That's right.
Okay. Well, listen,
right.
I wanted to just weigh in this week and pay my respects to.
Thank you,
Mr. Rogers, and to the Cove, and to the contributions that have been made.
Good to hear you back in the new year. The first episode of the Cove for 2013.
Well, now let me ask you this before you go away. You've got some different ideas on the Cove for the new year?
I think we're going to be more of a political avenue. I mean, sports is fine. Sports is wonderful, but we got issues like poverty. We got issues like gun control or lack of gun control. We got issues of people starving in America, which should not be happening. These are issues that disabled folks who can't get wheelchairs. This is serious stuff here. Sports is a good thing, but when you talk about human needs, then it gets serious. Oh, silence.
Hey, I'm just thinking about what you're saying, and you made some important statements there, and we're looking forward to see how the Cove evolves.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna be like the G rated version of Joe's Radio in the Raw. It's gonna be the G rated version of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
G as in Gray.
It needs to be done.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good one. Good luck with the new year, and we'll try to check in next week.
All right. It's 707 by my birthday goes. 707. We're going to go 9. Then he has some Roll Riders. Signal 9, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I had a whole show planned out. It didn't work out that way.
Oh, I know. That happens a lot.
Well, I got
cut
off too, but
I
everybody
got
cut off. Oh,
it was you. I thought it was
Art. No, I could get back in.
Oh, okay. But you did get back in.
Yeah, it was
a battle to get back in. Hmm. Okay. Well, I think that you made a wise decision to take this day to pay tribute to Roy Rogers.
Roland.
What did I say, Roy?
Yeah, the guy, Roy Rogers. Yeah.
My apologies.
No, that's good.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I like Gary Gray, G-R-E-Y. I get that all the time.
Okay. I'm sure you do. I still
get it. Oh, yes, G-R-E-Y, all the time.
Well, for your first day back after briefing.
I didn't do anything about my notes.
No. Those that I heard giving tribute to Mr. Rogers. I learned a lot about him. I have great respect for him in stepping out and doing something that was not the run of the mill, the common everyday kind of thing. And I certainly appreciate his giving you an opportunity to be part of the staff, both as a writer and as a commentator.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the Grey Leopard Cove will continue and that the other young men that have been mentored by will continue their quest to expose the inequities in the sports world between Black and White America.
You know, I think that we with BSAB here, it keeps ESPN on guard. ESPN can do so much. We'll get them, and they know we'll get them. So they gotta do the road. They can't go way out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll bring it back to reality real quick.
Okay.
That's the thing about BSN. We'll always be watching all the avenues.
That's true.
Like what happened last week in Washington never should happen.
I agree with you.
And there was no reason for, I don't care what this guy is saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for this boy to be out there in the field with one leg.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because because the coach wanted to get in the all way. It wasn't about team. It wasn't about,
It's not going to happen, is it? And that young man is has to face a physical challenge probably for the rest of his life.
That's right. Because that same leg was injured a year earlier in college.
Mm.
If he had taken him out earlier, it would have been bad. It would have been bad as it was. But because he kept fooling around, here he is.
Mm.
And no reason for that.
Okay.
You lose a game, okay, big deal. You go and try next year. You got the playoffs. You already got the playoffs. So what's your point?
When you find out, let me know.
Okay. Was that good?
Okay.
Well, I think if I was in Washington, D.C., I would be knocking down his door.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, would you do that with a white player? I don't think so.
I'm not sure that he would answer it that way, but his response probably would be, "I would think about it."
Okay.
But anyway, keep up the good work, and we'll be looking forward to your show next week.
All right. I hope the people that got like on. I had a couple guys I could see if I could get to.
Okay.
I had to call now to know what happened.
Okay.
Good first show. At the end to get up a gold.
Okay.
We'll be open for 2013 as our CEO and Chief Roy Rogers passed away last week in Poland. BSM will go on. BlackAthlete.com will go on. Main WGLM. 1450 WGLM Online. Also, Richmond, Virginia with Cowboy Reggie. I'll get back to you, Cowboy. I'll get back to you after the show's over. I saw you, but I couldn't get to you. Mike Lewis Ingram, the Radio on the Raw, Philadelphia, Patrick Bad, and I hope LA you do well at the hospital. Hope you get better. PatrickBad.biz, PatrickBad.biz, you take about this show. And former editor-in-chief, Roy Rogers, BSN, New York. Doreen Wade, New England former magazine CEO, Boston, Massachusetts. And Giovanni's Brothers Market, LCO, California. You have a good week and a good weekend, and the Great Book Club will be back next week. Thank you for all the support in 2012. Sorry for the three minute backspace we had to cut off here and couldn't get back on. The show next year will be more political, social, and dealt with disabled American issues. Yeah, we will do our sports. Well, we didn't do it. We didn't do that much today, but we'll do our sports. See, next week, we'll have Reverend Martin Luther King. Next week, so the first 2 weeks. Not the regular week, like a regular show here. I'll see you next week. I'll take it out of here with these.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts, Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at Facebook.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Pocket is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory, because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
sports talk, the way it was meant to be.
In fact, right now, we're doing a series called Voices from Palestine. My executive producer, Donna Nassour, she's in the Middle East. and she's conducting interviews right now with Palestinians in the West Bank, Palestinians in Bethlehem, Palestinians in East Jerusalem, and those interviews will be played on my show. So you're going to want to join us Wednesday from 2 to 3 on KCAA right here to hear voices from Palestine. You don't want to miss it. Join me.
And Rowan, you will always be a Nick for life. And you are Nick. Good night.
You are the New York Knicks. Let's go. We are the New York Knicks. 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 Say go, New York, go, New York, go. Let's go, Knicks.